Good morning, goeiemôre. Ek het die hele dag by Affie spandeer gister. So my Afrikaans is vlot. Kan nie klaar nie, alles is in die hart. Baie dankie, tot ziens. Ek het nie baie Engels daar gehoor gister nie, maar het gesien, daar is twee mense van hierdie kerk vir die, wat vir die eerste span speel, so ek moet bietjie stadig gaan, hoor. En dan gaan ek die gassies gaan kyk op maandag, hulle speel ook, daar is paar eerste span mense hierso, so alles loop klop Disselboom. baie dankie, ja ja, lekker, nou is my Afrikaans klaar. It's nice to have you guys here, my friends from Durban, who are now in Cape Town, it's great to have you here. We're doing a series on prayer, and last week we spoke a little bit about Elijah. The Bible says he's a man just like us. That doesn't mean he's a perfect man. He had depression. He threw fits. He was a weak man, but he could pray. And so God can use anybody to pray. We're going to continue to look at it. How many of you have ever climbed Mount Everest? Mount Kilimanjaro? The Drakensberg? A voortrekker hoogte? James chapter 5. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. He shouldn't be worried. He shouldn't be surprised. He shouldn't get anxious. He should just pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. We spoke about confession as being one of the healing agents of God. We don't have to stand up in front of the whole church and confess. We just have to confess one to another. We just got to bring it into the light. One of my friends sent me an SMS today. He said he's got an 8-year-old son who was here last Sunday morning. And when he got to bed on Wednesday nights, he had a letter from his son. He said, "Dear Dad, I've sinned." This little 8-year-old boy writes a letter to his dad. And so his dad went into his room and they prayed it through and then he got set free. So sometimes we're just touching 8-year-old boys in this auditorium. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Our righteousness doesn't come from our behavior. Our righteousness comes because Jesus covers us with a white sheet. Elijah was a man just like us. Say, just like us. Got moods, has good days, has bad days, gets depressed, runs away, takes on 850 people, runs away for one woman. He's a man just like us. We have highs and lows. We have good days and bad days. He's a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. If you weren't here last week, you can catch it on the website, but we can look at the second part. In verse 41, 1 Kings 18 and verse 41. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go eat and drink, for there's the sound of heavy rain." And Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel. Say, Elijah climbed the mountain. So one of the great ways to illustrate prayer is mountain climbing. So if you haven't climbed Everest, you won't know. If you haven't climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, you won't know. But one of the ways to understand prayer is just to understand mountain climbing. I know there's a couple in this church, we met in the queue going up Table Mountain. And it's a long queue, it sort of goes like this, and then it goes like this, and then it goes like this. And you think, what the heck am I doing here in Cape Town, doing this queue? And we see each other at the corner, and it goes like this. And you think, flip, maybe I should just leave here. And then eventually you get to the cable car and you think, oh, now I'm crammed with all these people and I've been here for 2.5 hours and it's really hard work. And as the cable car starts going up, you think, wow, Wow. It's awesome. When you get to the top, you think, that was worth it, eh? That's what prayer's like. You wait in the queue and you go around the corner, around the corner, around the corner. You think, what's all this about? And then you start climbing. If you've ever climbed the Drakensberg at Witsie's Hook, there's a chain ladder there. I'm scared of heights. And you're on the chain ladder and you think, oh, my hat. Not so worried about me. I'm the guy behind me. If I fall, he's in deep trouble. My dad once was stressed, so my mum sent him on a hike. And he said he arrived there, him, 7 springbok walkers, and a fat Jewish lady from Johannesburg. And he thought, geez, I think my wife wants to get rid of me. So they went down into this big cavern, and these 7 springbok runners were going, and they were walking all the way through, and then eventually this fat Jewish lady and my dad, who was unfit, said, no, to heck with this. We got to get out of here. And they started climbing out of there. He said he had this Jewish lady hoping and praying that she wouldn't fall on him. And eventually they had to send a rescue helicopter to get them from the cliffs of whatever cavern they were climbing out of. But sometimes prayer is like that. When you stand, you think, oh, flip, am I going to go up? Am I going to go down? Is it worth it? It's really difficult. He climbed to the top of Carmel. He bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. Let's try that. Let's try. Why don't you stand? Bend down towards the ground and put your face between your knees. Yeah, lekker. Let's try. Let's try. Don't pull anything. Don't. Is there a doctor in the house? Is there a doctor in the house? He bent down to the ground and he put his face between his knees. Go and look towards the sea, he told his servants, and he went up and he looked. There is nothing there, he said. 7 times, Elijah said, go back. Say 7 times. 7 times. Go back. The 7th time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, the heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking into his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. We used to sing a song called Pick Up Your Cloak and Run. Comes from the story. Not pick up your coke and bun. Pick up your cloak and run. Friends, this is just as an example to us on how to pray. The first thing I want to speak about is we have to become mountain climbers. We have to become mountain climbers. And it's not easy to climb a mountain. And if we look through the whole of the scriptures, and every time you see something like this, you've got to look at the whole of the scriptures, and you realize Abraham was a mountain climber. And it says in Genesis chapter 22, God said to him, go to Moriah, take your son, and climb to the top of the mountain. Because while you're climbing, God's doing stuff inside of our heart. God is working with us. God is forming us. One of the greatest ways God wants to work with us, he wants to make us like Jesus. And one of the ways he uses to do that is prayer. Because sometimes you think, what on earth am I doing? No, God is doing something with you. He's busy forming you and fashioning you and shaping you. Can you put that quote of Henry Nouwen up for me, please? The great conversion in our life is to recognize and believe that the many unexpected events are not just disturbing interruptions in our projects, but the way in which God molds our hearts and prepares us for his return. Our great temptations are boredom and bitterness. When our good plans are interrupted by poor weather, our well-organized careers by illness or bad luck, our peace of mind by inner turmoil, our hope for peace by a new war, our desire for a stable government by a constant changing of the guards, and our desire for immortality by real death, we are tempted to give in to a paralyzing boredom or to strike back in destructive bitterness. But when we believe that patience can make our expectations grow, then fate can be converted into a vocation, wounds into a call for deeper understanding, and sadness into a birthplace of joy. You see, friends, you can go to Table Mountain and you can hire a helicopter and you can fly and they can put you there. You can stand in a queue in Table Mountain, catch a cable car and zoot up there. Or you can actually climb Table Mountain, and in that process of sweat and tears and persistence, God starts doing something in your heart. So when you get to the top and you see that view, you understand why you had to go through that pain. Moses climbed the mountain. He had to climb a mountain to fetch the law. But in Deuteronomy 34, it says an amazing thing. It says God told him to climb a high mountain. And when he got to the top of the high mountain in Deuteronomy 34, God says, there is the land that I'm giving to you. When we climb the mountain, when we get out of the comfort zone of living in flat land, and we go through the persistence of prayer and the effort of climbing and pulling and ladders and fear, and planning, when you climb up Mount Everest, friends, you don't decide, I'm going to climb Mount Everest tomorrow. You put a whole plan in place. You've got to raise funds. You've got to get your oxygen supply right. You've got to get your base camp right. You've got to get your support system right. And only then do you start to climb the mountain. Elijah climbed the mountain. And then we realize the most incredible thing. Jesus was a mountain climber. Jesus was a mountain climber. And one of the greatest reasons why we climb the mountain is because when we get to the top, we'll meet Jesus there. So let's read Matthew 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a, say it, by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before him, who? Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. This is what it says in Mark chapter 9. It says this, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before him. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses. Friends, when we go mountain climbing, when we pray, we'll meet with Jesus. And we'll meet with Jesus in dazzling white. I wore a white shirt specifically. And then I hugged somebody and I got blood all over me. And Clint came to me and said, you got blood all over. Friends, when you meet with Jesus, your clothes will be whiter than any human being can bleach them. So I've got to take this. I've got to get this blood off it. I try to rub it off. I got made a bigger mess. When we try and bleach our clothes, when we try and fix our stains, we just make a bigger mess. And so what must we do, Rory? Learn how to climb mountains. Learn how to climb mountains. And when it feels boring, and when it feels like nothing's happening, and when you feel like you don't know what you're doing, eventually you'll get to the top, and like Moses, you'll start to see the promised land. You'll start to see the inheritance. You see, friends, we don't climb mountains to get closer to God. We climb mountains to get further away from people. That's why Jesus climbed mountains. And that's why you and I climb mountains. What had happened with Elijah, he had this unbelievably successful encounter. The prophets of Baal were killed. all that false worship was brought to nothing. The Spirit of God fell. There was this unbelievable euphoria going on. And immediately Elijah went up to the mountain to pray. Jesus fed the 5,000. As he fed the 5,000, he was the hero. He's like this unbelievable provider. He said immediately he withdrew to a solitary place, went up a mountain, and he prayed. When you're in trouble, when you're in success, when you're in difficulties, when you're in doubt, when you're in decision making, the reason you go up the mountain is to get away from the voices of this earth that will sway you anyway. You've got to get into the presence of God in any critical time of your life. Prayer started in Genesis chapter 4. This is what it says. You don't have to put the scriptures up. But this is what it says in Genesis chapter 4. Lamech had two wives. He was the first man in the Bible who was unhappy with one woman. So God put them in the garden. It's meant to be one man and one woman. Man was unhappy. He ruled his own life. He went out the garden. The first thing that man did is he took two wives. And now they take three and four and five and six. And our ex-president can't count. Friends, it's a sign of the curse. And he says this, Ada and Zillah, Genesis chapter 4. Ada and Zillah. He had a wife called Ada and one called Zillah. He had them wrapped from A to Z. He said this, Ada and Zillah, listen to me. It's the beginning of chauvinism, where a man thinks that a woman must listen to him just because he's a man. That's what chauvinism is. Ada and Zillah, listen to me. It started in Genesis chapter 4 and it's ended in gender-based violence. He says, if Cain was avenged seven times, then Lamech 70 times seven. And bitterness and vengeance and hatred gets released all over the earth. And Jesus comes in reverse and says, how many times must I forgive? Seven times? He says, I tell you not seven, but 70 times seven. And this is what the next verse says. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. It's the first prayer meeting in the Bible. When there's trouble in this earth, the response is prayer. It doesn't matter if it's gender-based violence. It doesn't matter if it's bitterness and hatred. The way we deal with it is we get into the secret place, we climb the mountain, and we cry out to God. Some of you guys are too young, but we used to have these radios. I don't know what they're called, CB radios. What are those radios called? Citizen band. Any good buddy on the super slab for a rap? You remember that? You would have this radio and you'd say, any good buddy on the super slab for a rap? The guy'd say, how's the buddy? What's your handle? Say, my handle's Bat21. What's yours? He says, my handle's Bird Dog. Say, hey, Bird Dog, how you doing? Hey, Bat21, I'm doing really well. Your name would be your handle. And right the way through the scriptures, God's name becomes a handle. And as we name God, we put our hands around his name and we hold on to it for dear life. In the New Testament, Jesus says, this is how you must pray. Go into a room, close the door, and I'm going to give you a handle to hold on to. Father. Say Father. In the Old Testament, it's Lord and God Almighty and the healer and the provider and all of those things. In the New Testament, it is. Say, and as we climb that mountain and get into the place of prayer, we meet with the sun. And on the top of the mountain, it says in Genesis 22, on the top of the mountain, there will be provision. And this mountain will be called the Lord will provide. And that's where they built the temple of the Lord. And as we get into the mountain, as we get into prayer, after waiting in the queue, after catching a cable car, after helicoptering in, or after climbing up to the top, we start to find a provision that satisfies us. You rejected? Start climbing mountains. What for? To get closer to God? No. To get away from man. To get away from the people who have rejected you. To get away from the purposes of earth. And to get into the presence of God, where you can hear his voice. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. You can put it up on the board, please. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. So he's on the mountaintop with Moses and Elijah. And this is what it says in 2 Peter 1. For he received honor and glory. Say honor and glory. Say received. You see, friends, keep the scripture up. The thing that all human beings work for their whole lives is honor and glory. That's what human beings work for. You go to school to make an honors board. You go to business to make honors. You become businessman of the year. You become professor of the university. You become teacher of the year. You become rugby player of the year. We're all looking for honors, and it all comes from human effort. What did Jesus do? He received. Say received. So he's got on top of the mountain, he's worked hard, he's perspired, but he wants to get away from the voices that are telling him, you must do this and we expect this from you, that's what you do. He says, now I've got to go into the presence of God. He says, I received honor and glory from God there. When the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my son, identity, whom I love, affirmation, with him I'm well, affection, with him I'm well pleased, affirmation. We ourselves heard this voice. Peter's writing this, eh? We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. 3CR, this is my imploring to you. Become mountain climbers. Study everybody who summited Everest. Study everybody who's gone up Kilimanjaro. Study everybody who's gone up the Drakensberg. And watch your own Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was a mountain climbing expert. And on the top of the mountain, he got something that nothing on earth could give him. We will never, ever be effective unless we know how to climb to the top of the mountain. To be alone with God. To speak to him, to grab hold of the handle, and to let him speak these words over us. This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And watch him in dazzling white. Watch him enough until all the blemishes and blots and bloodstains on our own lives disappear in the brilliance of his unexplainable light. Amen. A few more things. He prayed specifically. He said, I pray that it doesn't rain for 3.5 years. And then I pray that it does rain. He prayed very specific. He prayed scripture. He prayed scripture. Yonggi Cho, who leads the biggest church in the world, 1 million people, when he just had a little classroom of people, God said, if you want to grow this church, you're going to have to learn how to pray. And so he said, okay, Lord, I'll tell you what. All I want, Lord God, is a bicycle and a desk and a chair with wheels. And he prayed every single day for 6 months. Every day. Lord God, bicycle. Lord God, desk. Lord God, chair with wheels. And after 6 months, he said, God, how are we going to grow the church if you can't even give me a bicycle? And he felt God say, there are lots of bicycles, Yonggi Cho. Which one do you want? He said, Lord, I want the American one. He said, okay. And 2 weeks later, he got a bicycle from America. And he said, the desk? He said, I want the desk made from Nepalese wood. Okay. So 2 weeks later, he got a desk made from Nepalese wood. And he said, what else do you want? He said, I want a chair with wheels. And 2 weeks later, he got a chair with wheels. After 6 months, God said, just pray specifically. Ask directly. And when I read that story, I said, Lord, I want a chair with wheels. I was in Durban. I was a pastor there. Had this old rickety chair. And my dad wasn't saved. My dad used to call me Boyki when he was affectionate. And when he was businesslike, he called me China. Hey, China. Hey, how's it, Dad? I knew that there was something going on there. And so I prayed. I said, Lord, I want a leather chair with wheels. My dad said, hey, China, what are you doing? I said, no, Dad, I'm just here at my house. He said, I'm coming down. But it's like 2.5, 3 hours drive. I said, for what, Dad? He said, hey, strange thing happened to me this morning, China. I said, what, Dad? He said, I'll tell you when I see you. He drives in his bucky. He had like this 5-liter SS Lumina bucky. On the back is his leather chair with wheels. I said, what's this, Dad? He said, strange thing happened to me today, China. He said, I walked into my office and I realized this chair was no longer for me to do business. It was for you to prepare sermons. Wow. He dropped it off. He had a cup of tea, got in his car, and he drove home. You see, God said it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years, and then God said it would rain, and so Elijah prayed what God said. Pray specifically. This is my prayer book. I pray specifically. Every single day, 13 prayers. I pray what God wrote. These are the people I pray for. I walked into them today. Etienne, Laura, Megan, Robin, Cameron. I pray for you. Every single day, 13 prayers. I know God hears me because He always answers His word. He always answers His word. If we had time, well, let's put up Daniel chapter 9. And Rensha and Gustav and Alexander and Joshua. And Nico and Anita. Take people's names, take the scriptures, and pray like a sniper. And then you start seeing God answering prayer. And then you don't want to come down off the mountain. Then you want to stay there. And the more you stay, the more the view comes. And the more the view comes, the more the glory comes. And the more the glory comes, the more you understand the white shirt. And the more the white shirt comes, the voice of heaven starts to speak. And the more the voice of heaven starts to speak, no longer is prayer a duty. It starts to become a delight. And then you start to pray. Boom, 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 boom. Just keep going. This is what Daniel chapter 9 says. Let me read it to you. Daniel chapter 9 says this. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylon kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures. Say from the scriptures. I understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. For all of you prosperity guys, I see the stickers behind your car that says Jeremiah 29 verse 11. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And you write it on your bathroom door, and you write it on your shower, and you write it on your wallet. And I got given a wallet by someone in this church, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. The verse before this says this, Israel will be in captivity for 70 years. And the next verse says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Daniel is seeing God's people are taking strain. So he's reading the Bible, and he says, God, how long is this going to go on for? He says, probably another 2 years. He says, then I'm going to have to cry out, God, that you would honor your word and set your people free. You've got to pray specifically. You've got to take the text, and you've got to wrestle with God until that which He promises comes to pass. Amen? And the whole time He fashions you, informs you. In Exodus, with a golden calf, Moses goes up, and the people go wild. They go completely wild. And God says to Moses, Moses, you've let the people that you brought out of Egypt go wild. And Moses says, you brought them out of Egypt. And God says, Moses, you leave me alone. My anger is going to burn against them. And Moses steps in the gap and says, Father, please, Father, you promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that you'll have a nation. So he steps in the gap and he says, God, please, I have to remind you about your own promises. And the Bible says this, and God relented. Amen. He steps back. Friends, we'll never change this world unless we learn how to climb a mountain and pray. It's hard. It's difficult. It's hard to understand at times. Sometimes it feels like cold-blooded sweat. But when you get to the top of the mountain and you meet with Jesus, it's worth it. The last point, 7 times, 27 times, 37 times, 57 times, 82 times. Friends, I don't want to lose my reward, but these are my prayers for the building project. Inside that document are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of prayer. Because God said, I'm going to take you on a journey, not to build the building, but to deal with your heart. I'm going to take you on a journey where you trust me as your Father and as your provider and as your Lord and as your Savior. And you know what, son? I can send one man with one checkbook with 87 million rand, and he'll write the check and he'll give it to you and you'll learn nothing. There were times I would labor over this. There were times I would weep and say, God, where are you? I would say, God, are you deaf? God, can you hear me? God, are you listening? God said, just keep climbing the mountain, son. Keep climbing the mountain. Keep climbing the mountain. Say, God, why do I have to do so much? Why do I have to pray so much? He says, because there's so much of you, son. There's so much of you. There's so much of your personality. There's so much of your gifting. I've got to get it out of the way. So you're just going to have to keep coming over and over and over again. And I look back now, you can turn it off. I don't want to lose my reward. But when God gave two parables on prayer, he said, there's a man who wanted three loaves of bread. Straight in Luke chapter 11, straight after he gave the Lord's Prayer, he says, he went to his neighbor at midnight and said to him, neighbor, I have a visitor. I just want three loaves of bread. The guy says, I'm in bed with my children. I'm asleep. I just want three loaves of bread. I'm in bed with my children. I'm asleep. I just want three loaves of bread. I'm in bed with my children. I'm asleep. I just want three loaves of bread. He said, because he bothered him, not because of friendship, not because of neighborliness, but because he bothered him, he got up and gave him three loaves of bread. Friends, we need to bother God over and over and over and over again. He is not deaf. He's just dealing with our hearts. He's forming and fashioning and shaping something that can sustainably handle the power that he's going to pour out on our nation. Sometimes I stand here in this pulpit and I think, I never spent enough time praying because I know my heart does all sorts of funny things at night. I just want to be on the mountain where the voice of men can be silenced. Where the voice of men can be silenced. And I can stand in the presence of my king with Moses and Elijah, where I can look into his white garment and think, oh God, the stains upon me are all so much. But when I look into your brilliance and I hear your voice, Lord, I'm a man just like Elijah. But I know when I'm on the mountaintop, my prayers will be powerful and effective. Many of you prayed, many of you gave. Those are just my prayers. I know your prayers. And God takes your prayers and my prayers and the next guy's prayers. Nothing can stop it. Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.